Hello, welcome to the Small Game. I'm your host, Rob. Welcome to Stream Street Day 187. That's right. I'm joined by Val, the man. Heffle Finger!
The man with the annoying sound effect board.
Mine had to go to the other studio. Sad face. So I don't have control. I don't have the power right now to boop, 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 boop.
You were building up a network of weird spaces to record in.
I like it.
I like it.
The next one I really want is my caravan / motorhome, which will become the mobile studio of my dreams. That's the eventual goal, obviously.
Periwinkle blue, boys. Periwinkle blue.
I want to rock up outside the event and be like, happening inside there, but live from my caravan. That'll be the...
for some reason they have fucking, like, blinds. So, like, you can just, like, peer through the blinds. And I could just see into the event from there. That'd be great.
one of my friends recently, we haven't caught up for a long time, maybe like 10 years. She's a super talented lady. When I knew her, she was doing like a maths degree. When we were friends, like a while back, and I happened to run into her the other day, and I was like, "Oh, what are you doing?" She goes, "Oh, I'm a senior engineer now at like some company I can't mention, and like on track to potentially start doing the astronaut stuff." And she's like, "What do you do?" And I'm like, "Okay, great point. Great question." I'm gonna go right now.
Sorry, I've just farted.
Val Heffelfinger, Twitch chat, everyone else, yeah. Scrivo, Tristan, sorry again, K Dread, Stufflin, what is going on? Thank you to Scott B for subscribing for 6 months. How are you? What's going on?
Oh, speaking of which, I'm going to ball out. Look out here. Subscribe to Prime.
That's right. You feed Bezos his own Bezos money. That's what you should
boom.
Do. Go on, Bezos.
If I was feeling real generous, I would. I'm going to share this. Look at that.
For the podcast homies, what's happening right now is he is subscribing to the show he's on live while he's on it.
It's meta. But
not using real money. Using Twitch Prime money.
I'm pretty sure it costs you money when I do this.
Oh, does it?
I wouldn't be surprised if somehow like using the Prime sub option like cost you 50 cents.
Probably. I don't think it makes much, but it's fine. And if anyone is listening and they do have a free Twitch subscription via Amazon Prime, feel free to use it on the show.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Legitimately, and I speak from experience, the absolute least you can do.
Sorry again is giving me a response to what I should have said to that lady. It was, if anyone ever asks, just say you're living the dream, doing your hobby as your job while bringing joys to tens of people. That's right.
Dozens of people. Making dozens of dollars, streaming to tens of people.
But they're all the best people. Lee Bromley, thanks for subscribing as well. Hey, Lee.
Hey, you know, like, I think I've told you this bit. Like, when I did my one foray into Twitch streaming and I turned it on and there was, like, 12 people there, I can't tell you, like, because I've always scoffed at, like, low stream numbers until I did it. And I was like, there's 12 people here who are watching. And thank you for coming.
I always compare it to a gig. Because I grew up with around a load of musicians. And like, if I'd said to like, if one of my mates who were in a band, I was like, oh, we put a gig on. But like, who came? There were like 70 people. They'd have been fucking ecstatic.
Yeah, they'd have been like, rock star?
70 people intentionally turned up. I'm like, what the fuck? So I think I'm very, very happy with that. Like,
absolutely.
I love the Twitch chat and they're all great. Skinny Boots, thanks for subscribing as well. And also, they're just funny. I think that's the key part. I'm funnier because they're funnier. That's key.
Yes. Yeah. And when you get I'm just along for the ride.
Well, so have you been well? What have you been up to? Talk to me.
Well, you know, I mean, in the last week, just wrap my head about rapidly climbing COVID numbers, hanging out with my baby, and my wife, my dogs. Been returned to work, I think, last week.
Oh, you did?
So that was good. Yeah. Well, yeah, sort of part time, which is great. My wife and I share essentially the same job, so that's kind of a cool way to do things. So we're both part time and works out. Instead of having one patriarchal breadwinner and or matriarchal breadwinner, it's kind of a 75-25 to the matriarch. So it's great. I'm a feminist.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And a danger to society, according to some. what was I was gonna say, so England is facing more severe restrictions every day, and so obviously we had to postpone the Super Series, which is sad.
Super bummer.
So that's happened so far, so we're just chilling, waiting for everything to subside, but it looks like it's going to get worse before it gets better, which is a little bit disheartening, to be honest, because I was very excited about just running into streaming some games and playing some games. Very, very excited about playing some games, which I think I should still be able to do as long as restrictions don't get wild, in which case it's going to be super rubbish. But I was really looking forward to that and still am. So hopefully, fingers crossed, it's all going to go fine, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's a few important things that need to happen for everything to be back 100% normal. But, you should be able to have a pal over and, like, just do some traditional streams, no?
Yeah. What do you mean, play games?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Probably. Yeah. Although, yeah.
Or is it locked down even more than that?
So currently it's 6, but then it's changed up a little bit today, so then I think it's going to change drastically. I think by the end of the week we'll be facing lockdown 2, the electric boogaloo, as they say. And as you know, sequels are never as good as the originals, so...
No. I mean, and that first one was thrilling.
It was. But apparently we'll know by 8 p.m. tonight. However, it does mean the stream streak continues. It does mean the stream streak continues. It breathes life into the stream streak some more, which is good.
Has there ever been a threat to it yet? I mean, the stream streak is, I feel like, just getting stronger.
It's arguably more powerful. Like, we've had so many ups and downs with it. It's been strong. And we've got some guests on this week, which is going to be sweet. I'm looking forward to that. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
What about a little week preview? Who you got coming on?
If you're into the Age of Sigmar game, the big name in Age of Sigmar is a guy called Vincey V, Mr. Vince Venturella. You may have heard of him. No. So there's some really important stuff. Vince is an incredible painter. I think he may have won a couple of crystal brushes. That's the thing.
And on top of this, he's a painter?
Yeah. Okay. He's a great painter. There is a rumor only. So don't put any credence in this. However, whenever he does win either a Golden Demon or a Crystal Brush, his lovely wife, who I've met and cuddled, and she's great, so I'm sorry that I'm saying this, eats his ass. Like, that's a rumor.
Well,
and that's why he's so motivated to paint so well. That's the rumor. Now I can neither confirm nor deny. Yeah, right.
I didn't realize butthole surfing would come up. I wasn't ready for this. Also, apparently, there's a dance off that was redeemed for 9,000 of something.
Okay, I'll start dancing. I got no dramas here. I got no dramas. I'm punch drunk. That's me. anyway. So, yeah, Vincey V will be on the show. And Vincey V normally brings the big numbers.
T-Man Cash. That is veteran knowledge right there. You don't want to go with the ATM. Definitely want to be cautious around that.
Oh. So yeah, you're going to have him on the show. If you never listened to Vince, you should go check out Warhammer Weekly. He's good. But my favorite AOS content creator, I'm going to just tell you very quickly, because and Vince is right up there, him and Tom. Tom definitely is a wonder. They do the show together, is Mr. Heywo Twitch. So Heywo, if you haven't checked him out, you should go check him out. If you want some pure, like, if you're thinking about getting Age of Sigmar, he's done a great series on getting into them, but like, it's pure sass. It's dry humor.
Right.
I don't think I've seen him ever smile. And I love it. Like, that should be, I'm going to send the other links later. Maybe you'll be into it.
Excellent. I enjoy a good dry, wry sense of humor. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Who is your favorite? I've never asked you this question. Who's your, oh no, I'm not sure you're allowed to. Who's your favorite 40K content creator? Like,
favorite 40K content creator
or group? Yeah. Or team or tribe. Or I'm not sure what the other names for them are. Supergroup.
There, well, I'll tell you, there are a couple. There's a couple things I haven't missed since I started listening. Sorry, since I started back into 40K. One would be Signals from the Frontline. I don't think I've missed it in 5 years, which is crazy because it's a weird show in the sense that, you know, it's not that entertaining, but I love it dearly. I love Tabletop Tactics. I love those guys. I used to catch everything. I no longer do. And, of course, The Honest Wargamer, brought to you live on Twitch.
Oh, shut up.
I give all of your podcasts a fair shake. I look at them, consider it, and then I usually just swipe left.
I actually really proud of the 40K content me, Nick and Tom do. I'm really happy with it. So I'm in no way
40K
stressed.
Show?
Yeah. I've always been really proud of that show. I think it's excellent.
It used to really make me upset. Now it only makes me upset because I have this venue to respond a little bit. So that's good.
To counterpoint.
That's right. I'm trying to fix my overall look here and just making it worse. Anywho, anything happened in 40K last week?
Okay, there's so great questions.
Was that the core? Was that the core rule? Hey, Val does not hate the independent characters. In fact, I interviewed the one and only Carl Tuttle for the that Twitch stream that happened for Nova. So I got to actually talk to Carl Tuttle, whoever said that. Tomb King Tristan. Have you ever talked to Carl Tuttle? I have.
I have also. I met him in Forgeworld once when he was in England.
Really? Was he just like sweating buckets and like just hoovering up everything he possibly could?
No, he just had that American drawl. You know, sometimes you listen to them and you think, oh, I'm not sure if you're like all there. Like, and not in a bad way. Just, you know, they start talking, you think, is your brain.
Is that what Americans sound like to you?
All I hear is, I just hear terrible stuff. I can't believe you're the one who tried to bring us onto 40K content. You're the one who tried to bring us
into... Did I do that?
Yeah.
I mean, we were pushing the envelope of banality there. I think I could talk to you about maybe going shopping for groceries later, if you like.
Wow.
But I was going to save that for the end of the show.
Right. Okay, no, I'll tell you what's going on in 40K. Nothing. Like, that's what I'll tell you is happening. Like... The game is in, so I spent the morning doing my research, so I've read a couple of articles. My favorite article I read this morning was the Goonhammer article on their tier list for 40K, like their early predictions and how they were wrong and now how they're like this. And I'm like, maybe it's because I've got the upcoming lockdown, and so I just feel like I don't give a shit. Like, I'm just, and I'm sure there is just a whole bunch of other people who have that feeling. Like, I ride off, my energy comes from events and tournaments and the meta game and where it's all going to be. And when it's nothing, you're just like, how do you feel?
Yeah. As a guy who in theory co-hosts a somewhat popular show about tournaments, I could give a fuck right now. Don't care. I don't care, Cease.
Good. Why can't we just admit that? Why can't we content creators and go, the game's not what we want right now. Fuck. So,
Well, the game is exactly what I want right now. It's just not, you know, we're not allowed to play it. And it's a bummer.
Well, that's the thing. I think the game's probably been the best it's ever been since I've been involved, and that is a massive bummer. Like, I'm genuinely... Yeah, it's a big bum. It's a really big bum. And then also, you've got the impending codexes on the horizon, so you know it's all change as well. So that's been my general feeling. All the hype I had is gone, but I'm hoping that's going to change once I start getting some games under my belt. That's the hope and the dream.
I have been falling into the, as I was describing, I think maybe last week, I have been actually doing more hobby. I've been assembling stuff and, you know, fantasizing about using my airbrush and things like that, doing a lot of mental reps, thinking about cleaning it and, you know, getting the compressor out, all that stuff.
Ooh.
But as far as like, we've got a show's worth of content for going back a month, and we legitimately have tried to record a number of times and keep getting like, just things have come up and we haven't been able to record. But also, like, every time I'm about to record, I'm also secretly praying to myself, please something happen that I don't have to do this. So
oh, bless.
So, you know, that's how I feel kind of about events. Because the other thing is too, is we're not really building towards anything. Like, anyone who wins, you know, the ITC this year is like, yeah, GG, bud. Thanks for always owning the title of the worst year ever. That's great. Congrats. You know, maybe the winner of the LVO, if it happens, will be that'll be cool, I guess. But this will be the first LVO I certainly will not be at for 5 years.
Yes.
Something like that.
I'm kind of amazed that it will or might happen. And I feel really sorry for those guys. I'm going to say it time and time again. That I'm really sorry for those guys, that it might be happening, like, or that they feel that they have to do it, like, for financial reasons or whatever it might be, because obviously, you know, like, I don't think that's the most prudent thing in the world, but, you know, it's a tough situation. And also, like, I feel like it's always going to be marred by the Rona, like, yeah. Anyway, I'm trying not to let this enter into the hobby space, but yeah, that's what's been going on. Demons won an event at the weekend.
Whoop-de-doo. Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. That's a thing. Uh-huh. Yeah. And
Goonhammer had a nice tier. It's funny, though. So all of what we just said being what it is, which is, you know, the things that we super, super love and put a lot of time and effort into are just essentially impossible right now. There's a cool imaginary meta happening and has happened basically since COVID started. Like, there is a legitimate, like, narrative of what the end of 8th edition meta was. Mm-hmm. Which I find really funny. Like, there was this time where like, Farsight Enclave's Tau was, like, crushing it, super powerful. Never actually got to happen. But in theory, that's exactly what would have happened, you know? Like, I just find it kind of funny. And nowadays, there's what seems to be sort of, like, rising to the top type lists. But again, we just don't have that churn. I felt like so good at it during 8th edition, because for so long people would always be like, oh, we don't know enough. We don't have enough data. We don't blah, blah, blah. Like, and we definitely had enough of everything we wanted to be able to make pretty definitive statements about what was happening in Warhammer. Mm-hmm. And that was wonderful. And now we don't have that. Now we're just right back to circle jerking about what may or may not be true, which is too bad.
Yes, it is.
Where's the
truth?
It is
too bad. I, as much as I do love a good circle jerk, they are the funnest. Dutch elbow, rudder, whatever they're called. That's the tough spot for me, I think. And I know that there are guys, like, if you take the Art of War house, for instance, you've got some, like, top performers who are all playing each other pretty courageously all the time. Then there's some
great courage. So great.
I'm trying to use more adjectives in my conversational pieces, just to really work towards the content. Because
that's
so the overlay designer Tom, mm-hmm. who does all the stuff for the TSM, all the design work. We had a big, like, breakdown post the event, and one of the conversations we had, I was like, we've talked about the different roles of commentators and the fact that you need a color and you need the play by play.
Yeah,
and I was like, and I was talking about it, and I was like, I really need a good play-by-play person, like, because James is a good color, and I'm a good color or a good play-by-play. So, like James can play the color in that Age Sigmar event. Like, say if me and Leighton did it, or me and Nick, I could always be the color, and both of those can be the play-by-plays. That's perfect. But I was like, I really need a good color for the Age of Sigmar so I can do the play-by-plays. And then his feedback was like, oh, yeah, just find someone else who can do the play-by-plays and you can be the color. And I was genuinely gutted. Like, let me express this to you, because I like the play-by-play bit. Like, I'm like all the tactics are going in my head. I don't want to be the sassy hype man. Yeah, it's not the role I want, because it's superfluous. It's just like, you can get any dickhead shouting. But he was like, no, you need to be that guy. And so
isn't the point of the color to tell you the why and the other guy's telling you the what? Isn't that kind of more how it breaks down?
You've got the guy who's telling everyone, like getting everyone excited, telling everyone
this
stories.
Move here, this happened, you know, blah blah blah, and then you go, well, this reminds me of the great maneuver, blah 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 blah. You know, like
that's the play by play. That's the play by play. Yeah, yeah. Like, the hype man's like, is like, we're going over to table 3. This has happened. He's moved those there. Why do you think that's happened? And then
color guy answers.
No, play by play answers.
No.
Yes.
That's not how I think it works.
Well, in commentary that I've done so far, you have the guy that's leading the show directing you to the tables and where you're going to go.
Play by play.
And then you turn to the tactics guy who tell you what's going on.
Color guy.
Is that the color guy?
Yeah. To me, that's the color guy. So play-by-play is always the guy who's a man on third, and blah, blah, blah is at the plate. And then color guy goes, oh, blah, blah, blah is 6 of 3 for 25. And, you know, he's been very good in this scenario. And, oh, he's hit the ball somewhere. You know, I think that's... And then the play-by-play guy goes, oh, he's hit the ball, and he interrupts the color guy. And then if nothing's happening, the play-by-play guy will prompt the color guy to say something. So he'll say... Well, does that remind you of 1973? And then the color guy goes, ah, 73, I was very drunk. You know, like, and then they go on.
By the way, you'd be perfect to this.
I've watched a lot of sports. I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
Okay, well, anyway, I was heartbroken that I didn't get to be, like, the cool, they hit on threes, they do this. And instead, I'm just like the hype one. Anyway, that's
look at those silly dice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the one for me. But so for 40K,
for 40K,
I feel like it feels like it's everything's in a holding pattern. I know that there are tournaments happening at like some, and some events are being posted, but they feel so few that I don't know. Maybe once I start playing some games, I'll be a lot more motivated and excited, potentially.
Yeah. I think it's sort of a very selfish thing. It's like, I can't play games, you know, like, so like, therefore I don't care, which isn't fair because I'm supposed to be a content creator guy. Well, not supposed to be. I usually am, and I enjoy it, and it's a nice privileged position to be, having people listen to my opinions and such, because I think they're awesome, but not much use to anybody if I don't have a lot of strong opinions about things. That all being said, what was I going to say about Goonhammer? There was something about a Goonhammer article I was going to... Oh, one thing that was... They had a tier list article, which I thought was... hack. Thanks, Grimmo. There's a great little tier list that they did, which I thought was kind of neat, because they pointed out that this has been a very rare moment where the meta has been quite stable.
Yes, that was actually a really good point. This is the most stable the meta has actually been. Because there's been no big FAQs, new codex releases. It's the most structured everything has been, as people have been trying to find their feet with the whole process, right?
Yeah, there's been there's basically like there's, you know, a massive edition change. And, you know, everyone who's whining about there not being any indices or indexes, that's what the old codexes are. Like, I mean, that's what I don't understand. It's like, yes, we do have a base rule set. It's essentially the 8th edition codexes with a new rule set layered on top, and things are sort of going to be evolved from there. I think it's literally an identical situation to how 8th was set up, probably a little bit more interesting. And yeah, we're waiting for the Space Marines and the Krons to show up, followed by a whole lot of other stuff, obviously. But like, it's just kind of neat that things have been very like stable, and yet we're seeing, and I think this is largely because there isn't a sort of a global GT meta right now. We're seeing a lot of stuff bubbling to the top that isn't necessarily what we expected coming into 9th edition. So I don't know. It's been sort of interesting to look at from that perspective. But again, like when I'm thinking about 40K Stat Center, we have more than a month. We haven't done a show since the Flying Monkey Con, which I think was end of August. So we haven't even covered that. So if you guys are wondering who won Flying Monkey Con, sorry, you'll find out hopefully before Canadian Thanksgiving, which for the record is the second Tuesday in October. But like we have literally a month, and I think we are just now getting to what would have been an average week of content pre-COVID. You know what I mean? Like just in backlogged events that we would normally cover. So it's still, even though we've missed so much, we haven't really missed so much, which is also demotivating.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know what everyone's plans, because I know you're painting and you are building armies, and that's exciting for you to go through that process. For me, I'm the same. I am wrecking armies out. Like during COVID, I have done at least 3 armies, like with side bits, so that like when stuff kicks off, and I am in the process now of pivoting with the venue and organizing some little like 6-man one dayers, I guess, is the only thing that can be done, which will probably not be that big a deal. But just trying to rack in some games now, I think, and just plow on with that and see where everything is. Because unfortunately, like, I don't know how long this goes on for. And it must feel weird. Like, I feel like I saw someone doing a marathon the other day. Like, it was a good news feeling where someone did a marathon and then someone took the wrong turn right at the end. And then the guy let him go forward and win the marathon. I don't know if you saw it. It was like a nice thing. But they were just hugging each other, no masks. And I was like, cool. Like, is this cool? Like,
just let this happen now. You're like, what's going on here? Yeah, I love like watching TV, even just, you know, like an old Law and Order or something comes on and they all just get on a subway like it's no big deal. Like, my skin crawls. Like, I'm just, guys, let's can we get a little space here?
This is a bit too hectic. Yeah.
I just want to correct the record a little bit here. You said that I've been doing hobby. I have been very slowly assembling the easiest models that there are available to assemble, which are Space Marines. And very stalled right now. I got to a magnetizing step, and I haven't even primed anything, Rob. So, you know, I'm not exactly blowing the doors off the old hobby scene, but at least I've been doing stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, I've been very motivated hobby-wise. Like, I've just been like, I just want to get stuff done. I feel like it was the break that this hobby was never going to give me, where it was like, you can just have basically 3 or 4 months chained to a desk. And I'm like, okay, well, I can do stuff. That's not a problem there. But then I can also absolutely paint all of my backlog, which is
pretty prodigious. Yeah, so what have you worked on? What are your 3 armies?
Oh, I completely finished off my Zeench army, which was not that was like 140 horrors, some characters, some flamers. I did 15 flamers. I completely finished my Seraphon army off. So, which completing your Seraphon army off only requires you to paint up salamanders. That's it. So that's done, which is nice. Croak was already painted, so I just
convenient
smoothed into that one. I'm now into my Skaven.
One moment, please.
Oh, yeah. No problem.
Cool. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No problem. I'm now doing my Skaven, and I'm most of the way through my Skaven. I'm now just painting up the additional cool bits of my Skaven. Orcs. Yeah. Gazgul's got done. Another Waz Bomb Blaster Jet. Another Mecha Jet Scrap Jet. And then my favorite thing that I did over COVID, a Warboss on Warbike.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Is he in the game? Is he not in the game? No one knows.
Is he Zadsnark, or is he just someone you cobble together?
Yeah, he's Zadsnark.
Zadsnark's a beautiful model, man. That is one of my favorites.
Really, really cool. But now I don't know where to take my 40K dreams. I don't want to do my Mechanicum because whenever anyone suggests Mechanicum to me, they suggest all the models I don't own. they're like, have you got any Cerberus Hounds? I'm like, nope. I was like, you got any of the Flyers? I'm like, nope. You got any of the tanks? I'm like, nope. And they're like, oh, yeah. And also painted up my Death Guard. Sorry. I also painted up a Death Guard army. Four armies. Never mind.
Hold on. You got through all that Death Guard stuff already?
Yeah, baby. Oh.
Wow.
I do not hobby well, but I hobby quick.
That's right. That's right. It's all about volume, pal. Yeah.
I just ship it out. It's a bit like these shows. We probably could do like a really quality 1 hour a week, but instead you're getting 7 1-hours of just whatever.
Yeah. That, you know, you'd need to edit, and that's just not happening.
I feel that's weakness.
I am super jealous of just being able to show up, talk for a while, and then leave. So when we produce our show, there's like prep, and then there's a post edit. There's all this stuff that's got to happen. It's a lot. And, you know, I just like showing up here at 7 a.m. By the way, guys, I wake up super early to even be here. But that's still lazier to me than producing my own show. And I prefer it.
I like the informality of it, I think, is oftentimes. Which is why the differential between, like, the Honest Wargamer and TSN is that should all be prepped, produced stuff. And the Honest Wargamer is meant to be more like loose and fun. I think in that gap, you produce some viable goodness that you never thought that you would produce. We wouldn't have had conversations about Baps and Buns or Placenta. Sure. None of those
Baps,
things would have happened.
You know, went pretty deep on fascists and, you know, infiltrating our hobby. yeah. I mean, there's been some good ups and downs. Maybe we should do like a clip show. Maybe we're getting ready for a retrospective, a look back on all.
Show 200 should just be the rerun.
201, we'll do top 10 adjacent show moments. But I mean, that's a lot of editing, so that'll never happen. Maybe we could just reenact them all.
I think you'll find we have a full-time editor now. I'm going to get them on it.
I think you will find that our full-time editor is fully operational.
And it's me. That's who it is. It's me.
Yes.
There's not even the other thing is as well, normally the lead time for 40K is that stuff's close enough that you can be excited, but it's still a while away before all of the codexes. So you can't even wish list. I quite like what Games Workshop put us in. They put us in this emotional conundrum where we don't know what to do right now with all of our content, I guess.
I was a little bummed that yesterday they announced that there's all that, like, I saw that they were announcing a bunch of new like, arms and stuff for their Titans to, like, the 12 people that buy Titans.
For Titanicus.
No, these are the big ones, the big Forge World ones, I think.
Oh, okay.
There's probably maybe 6 or 7 people that play Titanicus, but so they had all these, like, new arms and weapons and things that they were announcing. I'm like, oh, yeah. That new Forge World book, here it is. It's going to be the next thing I scroll past, and it was the Lord of the Rings. And I was like, man.
Oh, yeah, the index book. We're still waiting for the index book.
Yeah, I'm very pumped for that. And that's where your War Boss guy will be, by the way.
He'll be hidden inside there.
No, that's legitimately where he is. I'm curious to know what's going to happen with Zadsnark. Is he going to make it? I don't know why he wouldn't, but it looks like he might just be a generic now. I don't know why.
I want Buzzgob to make it, but I don't think he will.
Buzzgob's still in print. He'll be there.
Okay. All right. That's good. I hope he gets an updated data sheet because his old data sheet was horrific.
Like, oh, man. All those original Forge World Index book series of data sheets are just sad. But, you know, they should be better now, hopefully. We'll see. Fingers crossed. Yeah, no, well, like, the one that was the worst was the Mecha Dread, which was just gobbledygook. It was just so many things that were hilariously wrong on there, including really options that could take. It was brutal. But anyway, whatever. It's actually
quite exciting. You've actually got me a little bit pumped there because, yeah, if they reapproach like things like the Mecha Dread, like they have done, obviously, with the other stuff in the ranges, we might end up with some really decent Forge World options for all sorts of armies, which could be really thrilling.
100%. Like, yes. Like, that is really what I'm really hopeful for. Like, the Gargantuan Squiggoth could be anything. It could it could suddenly be something super useful and cool, or it could be useless. I don't know.
Especially since it's a monster, and Gazzy can make it run.
I'm aware of that. That was all I tried to point out when they fixed Gazgul's rule. I was like, because there's literally nothing. I don't think there's one other interaction with the monster keyword in the Orc Codex right now.
None of the, it's, the Stomper's not a monster, is it? None of those things are monsters.
Nope, they're all vehicles. So there's
but maybe
there's literally
nod.
Nothing that could buff aside from the WA banner. There was nothing that could buff a Squiggoth, a gargantuan Squiggoth. So I'm very pleased that he can run and charge now.
What about the Orc rumors of a giant, massive new range, and maybe what we're going to see is that Gazgul will affect some new monster level units that we haven't seen previously.
Where are you getting all of this? Like, are you having some sort of fever dreams that you're imagining a new orc range? Where is all this coming from?
Val, Games Workshop is incredibly lightly staffed right now. Yeah, I have done nothing but work out their security sequences for months. I've had nothing else to do. Yeah.
Security sequences, which includes putting your foot in the door when someone comes back from a smoke break.
Perfect. And then I wear a mask. I look like everyone else. Why do you think I shaved my hair off? Yeah, to blend in. They have no idea.
There's probably a good contingent of people who just don't realize you don't work there anymore. So you're fine.
There we go. Yeah, so I have been sneaking my way in. But my point is that effect on the orc keyword could be... the monster keyword could be a sign that we might be getting new monsters. New monsters.
100%. I would give you 0% odds that is why Gaz buffs monsters. He buffs monsters because he is himself a monster.
Oh, well, but see, that's the interesting part. Because the new core rules would mean that he won't affect himself with that ability.
That's kind of funny. Also true. Or is it?
No, so if he's not core, if Gazgul isn't core, which I doubt he would be core, then he won't affect himself.
Well, no, it would depend on how they reword the WA rule. Because the new reroll rule actually says all core units within blank to reroll once, right? So if they reword it so it's like that, then he wouldn't be affected, I guess.
Well, thankfully, we've got at least 2 years or whenever it is to wait for the orc book. So
I feel like orcs are... I get the sense that orcs are an earlier book this time. Okay. I feel like we'll see. I wouldn't be surprised if orcs are the second Xenos book.
Ooh, very exciting. Prime Orcus. That's what we want. I think I might, have you seen this fella, Chapter Master Valrak, kind of exploded all over YouTube. Talks a lot about Imperial Fists, basically only talks about Imperial Fists.
Yeah.
Role plays as Imperial Fists. I was thinking maybe a way to really elevate the Honest Wargamers if I was just like solely dedicate myself to just orcs. Green face all the time.
Talk like an orc?
You talk like an orc. Maybe you get like some sort of necklace covered in like teeth. Yeah, I just get like way too weird into it. That might be a way to, be a thing. I don't know, like, if that's a... But I don't really want to be a YouTuber. Does that make sense? Like, I get that we're on YouTube, but...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're more of a Twitch guy. You want the authentic live experience. Unmediated.
Oh, yeah. Breaking news, says Ziggy. Indoor team sports are now banned, but you can still go hunting. Damn it! Okay.
Cool.
We were having a conversation with the council tomorrow. Fuck!
Yeah.
If ever there's a reason, it's fine. It's not fine. It's okay.
What about the fox hunt? Have they made that legal again? Is the fox hunt back?
Fox hunting is still illegal and has always been illegal. Not has always been illegal, but it's been illegal for many years. But if you happen to go hunting and accidentally catch a fox, then that's fine.
Okay. Okay. Just if you stumble upon a fox.
Yeah. While wearing the red, riding a horse, and running around with fox hunting dogs.
So awful. By the way, fox hunting being illegal 100% has not been that long.
Like a decade?
Yeah, I mean,
long
like a dick.
Long enough that some, like you can't be like, whoops, what, you can't do this? Like,
yeah. Been watching a lot of The Crown.
Okay, that is adjacent. That is not 40K.
Nope.
Where are you up to with it?
Coming to the end of the second season. It's fabulous. It's a great show. You know, I would I like that it's essentially Downton Abbey, but they don't really understand why they should care about poor people and the people who serve them. And that to me is just much more authentic, and I really appreciate that.
Okay.
In Downton Abbey, the upstairs people were always like kind of worried about the downstairs people. And I'm just the whole time thinking, like, they don't care. Like, no, they don't care if Mrs. Padmore is blind. They'll get another Mrs. Padmore. You know, whereas in The Crown, like, the queen is genuinely struggling with why she should care about common people. And, it's, you know, I was like, oh, that's accurate.
And they're also, like, they're in that unique position. Not that I think the monarchy should be continued, no matter how much money they bring into the country. They're in that position where it's their family. Like, you know,
right.
Like, and to some people, like, not me, but family is super, super important. And like, it means a lot to them. Their lineage means lots to them. Who they are, they identify that way. Like, it means much to them to carry that on. The weight and pressure for those people must also be, like, I imagine, or additionally huge, which is pretty tough, I think.
Yeah, I mean, the reason they care about family is probably a little bit different than, you know, the person who has like a really cheesy family is everything sign on their wall. You know, their family is the source of their wealth and their influence in the world. So that's why they probably care a lot about it. It's not that they seem to particularly like each other. Also, one thing I do find super interesting is just that Liz, as Sheila allows me to call her, QE2. She is wildly long-reigned. So, like, she's been around for so long. It is crazy to me to think that, like, her first prime minister, that she was sort of, like, when she first started her gig, she was meeting once a week with Winston Churchill, who's basically just, like, a fictional character of history at this point. Like, he's Winston Churchill is, like, a legendary character, and that was who her first, you know, prime minister was, which is wild. And she continues to be queen. She's so old.
She's super, like, old.
Charles is going to be in his 80s, you know, when he takes over.
Do you know about this thing where if you reach 100 in the UK, or maybe it's also Canada, you get a letter from the queen?
Yeah, is she going to write one to herself?
Yeah. Dear Liz, you made it. Like...
Self high five.
I would really like that.
Like, when her and the Duke get to, like, however long they're, well, they've been married for, what, 60, 70 years has got to be? Mm-hmm. Like, is she going to send them a letter?
Potentially. But then the major problem is, as I understand it, and to bring it back into a 40K, like, kind of,
go ahead,
telescope, that's not the right word. Microscope, who knows?
Your analogy failed miserably, but you tried to segue, and I'm with you. Let's go.
Appreciate that. I think now this isn't true. I know that Angron was named after a bouncer that existed, obviously, in local Nottingham, Angry Ron, and then obviously Gazgul Thraka named after Margaret Thatcher. We all know those things. However, as far as I understand it, I think the emperor is based on the royal family and the idea that you sacrifice thousands to prop up this one, like, dying position. I think is the allegory that they're trying to draw, I think. Because obviously...
The emperor.
The only reason she's able to survive so long is because of all of the children they sacrifice and then all the blood that they drink.
I thought that's just BBC producers.
potentially, but as I understand, that's what I always thought of it, the allegory. I don't know if people have ever really cottoned on to that really, when you're talking about the Emperor of Mankind, you're actually talking about little old Liz.
That's super fascinating. Or perhaps it's a broader allegory to autocratic power. Mm-hmm. One thing that because in a constitutional monarchy, which, by the way, I always thought that the English didn't have a constitution. I thought that was the whole thing about England. But anyway,
we don't have habeas corpus anymore. They disbanded that after 9/11, which is a bit of a shame. But anyway,
no, they have the power to suspend habeas corpus. So there is habeas corpus.
Yes. Yeah, but they have the power to suspend it, which is fun.
Which
anyway,
they probably always had through various war power and emergency acts, as all governments do. Mm-hmm. Not to contradict you, but I did just now. Nonetheless.
Latin lawyers. Yeah, you got me.
Nonetheless, what I was trying to say there is, it is also getting back to the British royal family, which I'm sure is what everyone wants to hear about. It is also super interesting to me that by the time you get to Liz, in fact, the story of 20th century monarchs is that they are fundamental, like basically after Victoria, they're fundamentally just figureheads, right? That they don't have any actual, they have perhaps influence, maybe, but they don't really have authority and they have no power. And you mentioned that their number one benefit to the UK is tourism. So they're like zoo animals. They're like really fancy, expensive zebras. And that's weird. You know, like you kind of have this very well-to-do, serious family held captive in these, you know, palace cages. And they all get super crazy and addicted to drugs.
Well, if you've ever met a fucking rich, a child of rich parents, they're always fucked, is my general consensus. Having worked in nightclubs for a long time. My follow-up to that is that, do you think then, if that's true, that there might be some sort of side gig for the custodies where they're like bringing in members of the imperial citizenry, and they're kind of checking out the emperor for like, I don't know, 34 credits or whatever the... I don't know what the imperial currency is even called, actually. Does anyone know what the imperial currency is?
Crowns? No. They're thrones? No.
No. I don't think there is. Is there one?
Yes, yes. It's definitely in the Eisenhorn books.
Okay.
Oh, fuck.
There is bucks.
One. Emperor bucks. That's it. Yes, thank you.
Nailed it.
Yes.
Thank you. Wouldn't you?
So a lot of people are thinking here that I'm pitying the very well-to-do royal family that exists on in these. They are thrones. There we go. Told you, Rob. I'm not pitying them. It is just a weird existential sort of thing where they have a lot of self-importance. They are given a lot of importance, but they're entirely symbolic. But they're also human beings. Mm-hmm. So like you have. Like there was this episode, the last episode I watched was the guy who abdicated. Can't remember. He's Elizabeth's uncle. Anyway, he abdicates because he was a Nazi.
Definitely a Nazi. he was Nazi adjacent.
Certainly Nazi curious. And it's funny because he's basically throughout this whole show been played as a fop. And like I keep turning to my wife being like, you know, he's actually a Nazi, right? Like, he seems really friendly. dude loved Hitler.
Wait, are we not saying that all the Nazis were basically big fops? I mean, they're driving around in BMWs and they got Hugo Boss suits.
They were dressed well. Look, I'm with that guy. But the Hugo Boss suits thing. And the fact that it also another to be adjacent to the adjacency going on here, mm-hmm. every single manufacturer and industrial producer, even the friggin' designers of the Nazi clothes and the Japanese too, they all survived. Like Mitsubishi Motors survived, you know, Toyota, they're all like arms manufacturers. They're all people who are cranking out tanks and weapons of destruction. They all survived just fine.
Wait, so what you're saying is in the far future, there is only war?
Yes, absolutely. Bring it back. Shit, what was I saying? I don't know. I felt like I had another point about the royal family. I've lost it. Something about the Duke, Nazis. I just got lost in Nazis.
And I don't think, by the way, every time you say, if you say Nazi once on a show, you get demonetized on YouTube. It's just done. Yeah.
No, is that it?
Yeah. One time. Well, I liked the show. I thought it was fun. And like, there is that sort
brilliant.
Of, there is, I'm a big fantasy guy. Like, I grew up reading about like kings and queens, and even if it was like fantasy of magics and wizards, there was normally a king, and there was normally like a young pauper who was like the son of a king, but no one knew,
yeah.
and eventually
yeah,
became
he, yeah.
the king, and he was a
yeah.
good guy. So I've always had that kind of like romanticized ideal of like kings and queens, and there's a cool sword that's got a name
yeah.
and it names
it's like
people.
If you watch it's like if you watch drama on TV, cops are nice people, you know, and they're the good guys. And I'm not saying that they aren't always nice people and good guys. They're just not always nice people and good guys. So I get that. And there's a reason why we are conditioned to, you know, respect people and authority and things. But to just bring it all back, it's just super fascinating to watch this very detailed story about essentially entirely superfluous people. And them struggling to come to grips with their uselessness. And how their entire reason for being is to project a air of not being useless, which is just a weird place to be, I think, as a human being.
It is. Or, again, to throw it back, because I feel like you're just bringing me, you're helping me all the time. Very much like Death Watch, you know,
yes.
they have a role, but like they're superfluous right now because they're rubbish. So they
not don't... if you listen to that Goonhammer article.
No, they say they're rubbish, super rubbish.
Oh, then I didn't read it very closely.
I think it is crazy, actually, that they are still real people who are alive. You're watching about a history that happened like 50, 60 years ago, and they're still there now. Is very weird.
Sorry, was making fun of me for trying to be profound, basically stating the point that they are just people who are alive, trying to figure out why they're doing what they're doing.
A question for you is, like, as a Canadian, like,
yeah.
you know, and there being that, obviously, there's a touch of the colonial monarchy element touched in. But do you
not... Queen's on our money. When she kicks it, Charles will suddenly be on our quarters and we'll be like, what's going on here?
I think it's a skipping Charles. And they're going straight to the more media friendly.
This is a popular fantasy, guys. What makes you think Charles is not going to be king exactly? Other than the fact that he might just not live that long. The queen is like again, her uncle abdicated, resulting in her being queen. Mm-hmm. And the show seems to purport that she kind of resents this fact in the beginning anyway. So like. Her the idea that she would that Charles would abdicate when he's probably been browbeaten all of his entire friggin' life that no you don't do that he won't give it up and she certainly won't set it up to for him not to get it.
I don't know. I think it would make sense to kick it down to a younger generation.
Yes, would make sense. Yes, yeah. But this yeah. is another fascinating thing is that. That because they're all so long-lived, I don't know why the Windsors don't have all the same genetic mess-ups that everyone else wound up with, but the Windsors seem to be they have solid genes. They seem to go a long time.
Again, gene therapy, sacrifice of many children. Like, they are 40K. I think maybe the original writers of 40K, they were really clued in the, like, the Illuminati-style... deep state, mm-hmm. like king mm-hmm. and queen, like they knew it all, and they were like, "We'll put this into a popular gaming franchise." And then...
actually, the more you say this, that because really it's the High Lords of Terra that run the show, and they have this emperor, dead guy on a throne, a useless corpse, who is the source of their power and the justification for them existing and being in power, mm-hmm. but that dead body on the throne is. Potentially just a symbol.
And it makes sense that story comes out of England, right? Like
yeah.
that's right.
No,
and
I
it
think,
also
I
came out of England
in,
and also came in out of England in the mid 80s where there was like a lot of like anti-establishment kind of like rhetoric. You tend to at one point there was like a very serious anti-royals movement which you genuinely don't hear very much about anymore, or I don't tend to run into much anymore. I mean, like, not to the point where I think it's in the papers, which I think that was a kind of, like, big storyline in the 80s at the time. And it's fascinating
yeah.
to... Actually, I might. I wonder if there's some really good documentaries about England in the 80s. It would be a nice to watch that.
And so sad.
It would be nice to watch that and then look at what's going on with, like, the original, like, 40K story, if that makes sense, and where they ran into.
No, a good history, like, yeah, a good history of England in the 80s is, well, it's all of us got. But there was just this, that wave of neoliberalism that came and dismantled all the things that made us countries worth living in. But anyway, neither here nor there.
You got dark this morning, Val. Let's ride the end of the show. you got any plans this week?
This week? No, I'm planning to make some plans. I actually haven't really looked deeply at it. I'm hoping to assemble some things. We were going to do like a little bubble cottage weekend, but I don't know, man. I don't know if that's going to fly anymore. So we'll see.
Oh, and numbers up in Canada.
Hmm?
And numbers up in Canada.
Numbers are up, specifically in Ontario, where I live, which is the largest province. So our numbers are increasing. The numbers are increasing in kind of like a, from other places' perspectives, hilariously low amount. I think we had 250 new infections. So, but to us, you know, that's a big deal because they're going the wrong way. We haven't had a death in a long time, which is nice. This is so morbid. But nonetheless, yes, we are trending in the wrong direction, but a lot of people went back to school and, you know, that's probably going to start having a real impact. We can't get tests anymore, which is really a bummer. That was kind of something I took for granted in the late summer. Like, if I did want to, we went and visited my wife's grandparents and we both, you know, isolated, got a test, knew that we didn't have COVID, and we could go on a clear conscience and go visit them.
But why can't right you get now, a test now?
The lineups are 6 to 7 to 8 hours long.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and the thing is too, is like, if you have if your kid has like a cold, you can't go back to school until you can prove that you don't have COVID. So all of the testing centers are just rammed, which is a bummer.
Oh, but I'm really sorry. I am really sorry. It's okay. Do you know what's okay to say? Is that everything just the whole situation is bumming us all out, like and like be upfront about it, because you sound bummed. I'm bummed. Like, I just found out that probably I can't do my event for 6 months. That's fucking harrowing. Is the only way. I probably, if that's true, we probably lose the venue because we can't afford the rent. So I got to unpack that emotionally later, which is dark. And I know there are people in loads of other really tough positions around the world, and I think it's okay to just admit that that's what's going on in the world at the moment, and be hobbyists living in the world as opposed to hobbyists ignoring what's going on in the world, which sometimes is the case, right?
Yeah. I don't know. First of all, I really hope that doesn't happen to you, Rob. I hope things get tamped down and you guys can go back to a semi-open state. I suspect that will happen. There was a really good early in COVID article called The Hammer and the Dance, which basically described what we're going through now, which is the concept of you have to have a lockdown. When you come out of the lockdown, numbers are down, but they will naturally start to rise. And so you have to lock down, get the numbers down, and then you come out of lockdown and you kind of go through that cycle until something structurally changes. And that really is only either an effective treatment or vaccine. That's the only thing that gets us out of here, right? And so that's, I mean, if they came up with a vaccine tomorrow, how long until you could have a shot in your arm, right? It's probably months to a year. So this is the way it is for a while. Hopefully we can continue sort of muddling along and things like that. But it's not awesome. And my biggest disappointment, of course, is the fact that that conversation has been known. So it's been known to anyone who can sort of look forward into the future since it started that the only way this changes is if we get a vaccine or there is a you know, some sort of a treatment. And that hasn't really been said clearly. And like, there's all these like government programs that were spent a ton of money to keep businesses alive and people from being kicked out of their houses and all that. And I don't know about your country, but here they sort of turned off a lot of that support. before anything's been resolved.
It all ends by the end of September, basically.
So why did we go into all that debt then? You know, like if you're not going to see it through to the end, there's nothing unforeseen that has happened basically since March. Once we got to March and we're like, shit, it's everywhere. We all have COVID in our countries. From there on, like the end game is clear, right? It has been clear and it should be clear to anyone in power. And yet that truth has not been said. It's always been sort of like, we'll see what it's like in 3 months. Well, what the fuck's going to change in 3 months? Nothing. So we're going to be in the same situation. So like that truth hasn't really been spoken. And I don't know why.
Well, yeah. Do you know what? I think I have let myself, you know, with the opening up and everything, I think I let myself get confident, not confident, but I let myself see like an end. And I think maybe just what you've said right now has maybe hit me that that's not the case, which is like, well, I know it's not the case. I already knew it was not the case, but oh man.
I think there is the middle ground. What we've been going through and what we've been doing and learning how to live with it in the world, I think we can do that better. And I think maybe if we do go into lockdown, people will realize, okay, fuck it, I'll just wear the mask. And we'll learn what we can and we can't do. Maybe, I hope, in time. That's where I have it. And I don't think you need... I think there is hope that there is some level of normalcy that will come back. If we go into lockdown, we're starting our lockdowns earlier than we did in the curve the last time, which means they'll be shorter in duration, and they will start to edge things back open again after that. I don't think that it's over by any stretch. It's just that that sort of boom and bust cycle will continue until there is some actual fix.
Agreed. I just want it to get back to the normal levels where you can speed date. That's where sure. I'm at. Where I'm at. Like, well, I really want to get into speed dating. I don't actually ever want anything to come out of speed dating. I just want that as my evening. Because I can't believe, and this is true, I can't believe that there's a system where I can just date 20 to 30 women in an evening. Yeah. Know that I'm probably emotionally incompatible with any of them because I'm a wreck internally with all my feelings and life baggage, and then just walk away. That seems like an evening I would pay a lot of money for. Like, I don't know why it's not more popular, not less. It's just like, have a 10-minute chat with a beautiful woman, leave, never have to talk to her again. Perfect.
It's terribly analog. I mean, isn't the whole point of Tinder essentially that you don't even have to have the minute conversation? You can just judge that person entirely based on a photograph and then move on to the next?
No, it's nowhere near as fun. Have you never had like a fully like stilted conversation with another human being for 10 minutes?
Many times. I mean, that's the concept of this show.
That is the concept of this show. Cheers. Cheers to this show, to Val Heffelfinger, to all of you people listening all over the world. Let hope reign for a bit and then let it crush you and then bring yourself back up with some more hope, I think.
I believe that's the human condition, man.
Yeah.
we're just doing what we're supposed to be doing. It's all good.
Honest speed dating seems like a great idea. It does not. Like, you sit down and you're like, oh, you dress like everyone else. I guess this will be quick. But if anyone wants me to watch me speed date in real life, that will be my new Twitch channel. But it'll be done through Zoom during COVID, so it'll be even more awkward.
So, Rob, here's a soul-crushing thing I'll say to you right now. In 1929, the Great Depression began. Mm-hmm. 10 years later was the start of the Second World War. Mm-hmm. 5 years later, I guess six-ish years later was the end of the Second World War. Britain didn't stop rationing until 1950-something. So that's like 20 years of fucking shitty bullshit.
What are you doing to me and the listeners?
What I'm doing to you is put things in perspective. All right. We are going through some tough stuff, but the human experience suggests that we're still doing all right. So
you're not saying that's going to happen. You're saying comparatively we're okay.
I'm not saying we're okay. I'm just saying that, like, things like all these memes about how shitty 2020 is. It's like, it can be way worse. Let's not get too.
Wow, they just found 7 unopened sarcophagi in Egypt.
Amazing.
It's going to get worse. Brendan Fraser's not in shape anymore to fight the mummy. He's nowhere near fit enough anymore. He hasn't been doing his push-ups. Like, it's just, we're not ready. Yeah, we can't rely on modern mummy fighter Tom Cruise. He's mental. He'll never help us out. We don't have an effective mummy fighter in the whole world right now.
You don't know if you have an effective mummy fighter until you got a mummy to fight. That's when the chips are down and we find out where Brendan Fraser's been for 20 years.
Maybe he's been preparing. Maybe he's just been building mass to defeat.
I think he's
them.
Just suffering male pattern baldness and hiding somewhere. That's essentially what he's doing.
Oh God. Okay. Right. Well, we're gonna go. If you aren't on some sort of like early morning like whiskey to deal with the show that you've heard today.
To me, it's hopeful. I mean, it's just this is, I guess, a stoic approach, man. Like, it's just, you know, things can be better and they can also be worse. You know, you just gotta deal with life as it comes. And just like you do, Rob, by the way, you soldier on, stiff upper lip, all that. People went to work during the Blitz. We can continue doing so now. And eventually it'll fucking get fixed.
Right. Okay. And if not, like Owen says, we could all just do crack. Perfect.
Yeah. Also an option.
I think that's obviously, I'm joking. I need to put that in air quotation marks. I haven't checked.
That's the thing you qualify of all the things that we've said and promoted. You have to be clear that, you know, actually don't smoke crack.
Because it's something I say often. I often say that when I get to 70, I'm just going to get really into crack. What else is there to do?
I think I'd just start. I would rather probably smoke opium than crack. Because crack really fires you up.
That's because you're bougie. Yeah. That's because you're like so chill and bougie. Like you'd be in like a long coat. Like there'd be a lot of velvet. Like you're
yes,
like,
okay.
You've got that different energy to me. Like,
look, man. You're right. And also, I mean, who doesn't want to live in a literal flop house, right?
Welcome to the next 4 years of my life. Anyway, thank you everyone for listening. It's been wonderful talking to Val. It's been great seeing you guys in the chat. If you guys would like to, I don't know at this stage, maybe drop by again. That would be nice. Mm-hmm. But ooh. And podcast guys, get, you know, go outside for a walk after listening to this. You know, go
hopefully
see
you
the
are
world. Yeah, go see the world, relax, get yourself a nice beverage.
I thought it was all pretty hopeful, but maybe I have a different definition of hope. But whatever, you know, reality, good cold dose of reality, right?
That's what the Honest War Game is for. Love all you guys. I love all you guys. You guys are great, especially Val. Have a great day. Fuck you, buddies, and we'll see you soon.
Later, everyone.
Oh, Owen, thanks for donating loads of subscriptions in the chat.
Holy, what the?
Look at Owen's like, I'm out. I'm just kidding.
Just, wow.
Oh, thanks, Owen. Oh, what a nice way to end the show. If anyone else would like to ever subscribe, please do. But thanks, Owen. Oh, he donated 5 gift subscriptions to all these dudes. Oh,
that was really nice.
That is really nice. To be fair, Warhammer people are really nice. All right, dudes.
It's true.
Loads of love. Look after yourselves.